Always look forward to catching up with Mick Guerin. We missed him last week as we were down at the Bull enjoying all the festivities, but he is back this week and there is plenty of news happening over in New Zealand. How are you, Mick?
Mate, I'm well. I was a little bit jealous last week watching the activities at the Bull. It looked a great aftermatch and some wonderful jumps racing. We absolutely love that sort of stuff over here. It's an interesting time for jumps racing, actually, Michael, in New Zealand, which would be considered by some probably more of a jumps racing country than Australia, because obviously we don't have quite the same high-end galloping stuff. There's a lot of big changes going on in New Zealand racing, and one of them is almost certain to see the sale of the famous Ellerslie Hill. Like, people talk about the hill at Warrnambool. Well, you want to see the hill at Ellerslie, it's a whole different kettle of fish. It's like a mountain. And the news is coming out now that it should be, or is likely to be, the formation of an Auckland racing super club. There's three clubs in Auckland. Ellerslie have all the glamour, all the money. There's Pukekohe and there's Avondale. Eventually, they're going to end up all together. But one of the crucial factors is they're putting in a Strathair track at Ellerslie, and you can't race the jumpers on the Strathair. So they'll be selling the hill for what could be upwards of $100 million. If you've ever seen the Great Northern Steeplechase, it's quite a remarkable race. I think it's the most unique race in Australasia, and I don't say that with any rudeness towards Warrnambool or Oakbank. It's a remarkable race. It's at 6,400 metres for a start. That hill is probably going to be sold, and Ellerslie is smack bang in the middle of Auckland, so it's in a very high residential area. So the money's going to come enormously in handy for the industry, Michael, but the jumping people are saying, well, okay, we now have no jumps racing at Ellerslie. We're going to have, you know, less jumps racing in New Zealand. What's the future for it? So that's one of the questions coming out of a time when New Zealand racing, much like the world, is on fast forward. Everything's changing so quickly. A lot of people are struggling to keep up with it, what it all means.
What's your, as a racing fan, are you happy with that move to reap the financial benefits?
But I love jumps racing. I love jumps racing, and it's crucially important, not just for the reason that it keeps an extra couple of hundred horses alive in racing. That's important. But so many of the great staff who work in racing, track work riders, barrier trial riders, obviously people who ride over the jumps, so many of those people can't be more flat jockey. There's not enough demand or they're too big. But those people who can ride jumpers and ride them well tend to be outstanding horse people, and they're crucial for breaking horses and looking after horses. So we must maintain jumps racing in New Zealand. And to do that, because we don't have the scale of Australia, we need to have more jumpers-only days. Because at the moment, the average jumps jockey goes to the races for two races and goes home. Well, you can't make any money. So my proposal is every second Sunday, have a jumpers-only day. So the Opie Bossons and the Lethemises can have the day off. Don't bother going to the races because I'd be going for three rides. Waste of time. Just have high weights, jumpers only, every second Sunday. Make that a circuit. Now, the problem is, everything in the modern world is about money. We need to make money per race. TAB needs to make money. All that bullshit. It just goes on and on and on. But we're not going to make money on every race we hold. And if we lose money on jumps racing, we have to cop that. And anybody in racing administration who can't see that's a fool. So that's the problem, because it's so obvious to anybody who works in the industry and understands the importance of the track riders and all the people involved and all the horses that keeps in the industry. But we've got to the stage with this infatuation with money that we keep talking about every race needing to be a turnover spike race. Much the same conversation about standing starts for harness racing in Victoria. So it's a really interesting time. I think selling the hill is fine as long as some of that money goes into maintaining and having a sustainable jumps industry in New Zealand, because at the moment it feels like the squeeze is against jumps racing, and that makes me very angry.
And you said it's part of this proposal for a Auckland super club. What does that actually mean, and what would that mean racing in New Zealand looks like?
Well, it means that Pukekohe and Ellerslie will combine together. Now, they're going to have enormous land assets, and once they've realised some of those, sold some, joint ventured some of them out, that means they should have about $200 to $250 million in an investment fund, which over the last 5 years has averaged returning 9%. It won't return that at the moment, but even if it returns 5%, that gives them $12 million a year to play with. Then Avondale, which is a good track, but the actual facilities are just a rat hole. It's terrible. I go there with my horses racing and I'm embarrassed. Eventually that'll be sold. And then you have more money. So what you say is that we're going to concentrate racing at Ellerslie on the Strathia. So Ellerslie is likely to close next April for 18 months. So things like the Karakamillion will be held at Pukekohe. And eventually they're hoping that the average stake at Ellerslie, racing 40 times a year, and this is the crucial part, will be $100,000 per race.
What's it currently?
Now, that's a huge deal for New Zealand racing. Massive. And that's important for the sales. It's important for retaining the Jamie Richardses of the world and Andrew Forsman, because at least it's comparable with Melbourne. So that's the plan. And it's been vetted by consultancy agencies. It's not like just some lunatic figures are pulled out of the air. So that's what hopefully is going to happen in Auckland. That merger or potential merger will be voted on by the members of the club inside the next month. But they had forums this week where the memberships of the clubs were very positive about the amalgamation. So it'd be like if you said to the three clubs in Melbourne, you're becoming one mega club, you're going to have a whole bunch more money, and we're going to reduce it to two tracks, and that's all good. But, as I said, there's going to be some things about this which aren't going to make everybody happy.
I can imagine. I can imagine, but it's all about sustaining the industry. Where New Zealand racing was a few months ago to what the future looks like now, I know there's been a change at the New Zealand tab with the leadership there. Are you more confident about what the future looks like now, Mick?
Yeah, very much so, Michael. Look, there's a lot more money coming in, and not a lot more by Australian standards, but the returns from the TAB to the industry. So the TAB here accrues money, makes profit, then returns it to the three codes. Last year was around $140 million, which isn't a lot of money. But this next season coming up, it should be about $165 million because there's been repeals of betting levies, the race fields information, so the race fields usage from the bookmakers in Australia has come into play. So there's going to be more money. Now, that figure needs to push up towards $200 million, and it probably can. So that's going to help. But again, it needs a lot more. You need to double the money coming back if you're going to try and double the stakes. So what Ellerslie are trying to do is to give it a massive injection in the arm by having the ability to sell some real estate around the setup. This investment fund. So it's a lot more positive than it was. There's a lot of people here happy to buy horses. I think the mindset's changing. People are thinking, I'll race my horses early in New Zealand, and either if I don't sell them to Hong Kong or Australia, I'm happy to campaign them in Australia because the big money's there. So we're very much becoming the island to the England, which is Australia. Mm. You know, the big money's over there, but we'll get the horses ready over here in what's probably, some people would say, a superior environment for breeding young horses. That's some people's opinion. And there's some parts of Australia which are great for breeding horses, but overall New Zealand's probably more a country conducive to that these days. So it's a really interesting time. I think, yes, there's a substantially better future ahead for New Zealand racing, but it's still going to be awfully hard to retain our best young jockeys and trainers. Think James McDonald, think, you know, Todd Pollard, Bjorn Baker, think Michael D. It's going to be hard to retain those people because Australia is so much more enormously profitable and lucrative that we're closing the gap, but it's still a hell of a big gap.
Speaking of those horses, are any Kiwis going to make an impact in the Queensland Carnival?
It's been remarkable how unsuccessful our three-year-olds have been in Australia this year. Usually they are at least fact. Aegon turned up and won the Hobart, Bill Michael, but we've had our asses kicked all over Australia. Mm. And sometimes it's been bad luck. Sometimes they just haven't been good enough. One of the key factors is I think horses have been hitting at the end of campaigns. And also there's the the slightly tricky one, but every time somebody buys a colt for a lot of money, they have to go to Australia to try and win a Group 1 to turn them into a stallion. That's the belief structure, even though, for, of course, a horse like I'm Invincible, not a single doubt, didn't win a Group 1. But to make them commercially viable, that's what they try and do. So often we end up with colts in the wrong races, and even races they probably know they can't win because they have to roll that dice. So I think we've got a couple of chances going to Queensland. I think not an option is going to be a chance, but I'm not willing to tip them to anybody, Michael, because quite simply, our three-year-olds haven't performed in Australia this year at the level we would expect, the best two being Aegon, who did win one, and Amaralina, who looked over the top in the Oaks. But at the moment, they need to prove themselves, and me being parochial about it isn't going to help them do it.
No, no. You call a spade, Mick, which is what we love, and you do have an unbelievable strike rate when you tip one here. Have you got one for the listeners for this weekend or today?
Look, I've got a funny one for you. Tomorrow night, Mickey, there's a race at Addington, which is one of those races I love to bet it to. There's a horse called Chase Auckland who's coming back, and he's the best horse in the race, but I think he's too short. I think he's in trouble, and I think he almost can't win. He's $1.90. This is race 3, Addington tomorrow night. It's at 3:40 Melbourne time. Now, I think he can't win. He'll go back at the start. There's two horses in the race. One's called South Coast Arden. There's a change of driver tomorrow. Natalie Rasmussen drives. I think it'll press forward and lead, and it's awfully hard to beat. So I'm saying have 70% of your spend on that. If you want to spend $50, and obviously only a bit where you can afford to lose, have your $30, $35 on it. But there's another horse in the race who I also like as a chance called Fabrizio. Now, they open $4.40 and $5. For me, the way I bet, I'll be happy to have $500 on both. Split the difference, make it $2.50 or whatever the price is, and you're bracketing two of them, thinking one of them will beat Chase Auckland. But if you're looking for a straight tip, it's Addington, race 3 tomorrow, South Coast Arden, with coverage on number 4 for Fabrizio, because I'm taking a stand against the $1.90 favourite.
All right. Well, the market here, Mick, has changed a bit. Chase Auckland's into $1.65 in this market. South Coast Arden's $2.90 and Fabrizio's $7.
Look, okay, well, so you split your percentages slightly different. Then in that case, you might have your 80% South Coast Arden, 20% Fabrizio, because he's $7 to give yourself a chance. I really don't like Chase Auckland tomorrow night. He's a wonderful horse, but recently in New Zealand harness racing, these horses coming back to the races, they go so much faster now, Michael. The horses returning to the races can't win most of the time, because there's the days of them jumping to the front, getting a half and 65 and sprinting home, and their natural ability getting them home are gone. Those days just don't exist anymore. So unless it's a Lazarus-type horse, when these good horses come back, they get beat. And that's the case tomorrow. But the bookies, of course, don't realise that, because they work on name recognition and the algos and try to think, well, this will be backed off the map because it's a Hayden Cullen horse. But that's not the case, and it's proving not to be the case a lot. So they are the golden ticket races for harness racing at the moment. This is one of those tomorrow night.
I love it, Mick. Great in-depth report on everything going on in New Zealand. Best of luck over the weekend.
Have a good Thursday, bro.